Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Our human nature is you retaliate. You got to pay them back. And this is why wars and conflict and all these things, this is why they just are perpetuated, why they go on and on from generation to generation in some instances. And there is no stopping it until somebody does something different and decides to love their enemy. That's a powerful thing.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of Luke. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Luke chapter 6. Now here's Pastor Brian.
How could I possibly love my enemy? So, again, rather than go into each one of the things that Jesus said, I want us to see this is the bigger picture of what Jesus is getting at here. And this is a quote from N.T. Wright, and I think it's so excellent. This is the essence of what Jesus is teaching. The kingdom that Jesus preached was all about a glorious, uproarious, absurd generosity. Think of the best thing you can do for the worst person and go ahead and do it. Think of what you'd really like someone to do for you and do it for them. Think of the people to whom you are tempted to be nasty and lavish on them generosity instead. These instructions have a fresh, spring-like quality. They are all about new life bursting out energetically like flowers growing through concrete and startling everyone with their color and vigor. The point of Jesus was to inculcate and illustrate an attitude of heart, a lightness of spirit, in the face of all that the world can throw at you. That's so good. That's it. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about being so confident in the Lord and in his goodness and in his faithfulness and in his justice that we can say, you know what? God bless you. Even though you hate me, I wish the best for you. That's the Jesus style. That's the Jesus attitude. Of course, this is what Jesus did. Remember, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He prays that for the people who are crucifying him. And when you watch Jesus navigate his public ministry and the opposition of these people like we read about who were furious and wanted to kill him, you find over and over again, Jesus is graciously pleading with them to try to change their perspective. He doesn't, like we would tend to do, like I would tend to do, he doesn't write them off and just say, I'll deal with you later, you know. No, he keeps extending grace to them, even while they're crucifying him. And so he's saying to us, and I think N.T. Wright, he just does a great job here. The best thing you can do for the worst person, think of it and go ahead and do that. That's a great way to look at it. You know, just people that, this really is the disarming factor in the life of a Christian toward others. Because this is the thing that nobody expects. Everybody expects an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the way we think. But to think differently, remember it's not that long ago, there was this, I think she was a policewoman, and she was, this was, it happened in Texas, and these can't remember the details, but I think it was the police broke into her house. She was in the wrong place or something. Anyway, they killed her. It was just this big travesty, just completely crazy thing. And I don't know if you saw any of the footage of the things that were going on after that, but there was one point where her brother, who is a Christian, got up and he just forgave everyone for this on behalf of the family. And people were just losing it. They couldn't understand, like, how could you do that? How? Because again, you know, our human nature is, no, you don't do that. You retaliate. You got to pay them back. And this is why wars and conflict and all these things, this is why they just are perpetuated, why they go on and on from generation to generation in some instances. And there is no stopping it until somebody does something different and decides to love their enemy. That's a powerful thing. So who knows the kind of things that we will go through in life, but if we have a foundation in the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and the justice of God, then we can say, you know what? We'll leave that. We'll leave that with the Lord. How can I help? How can I bless? Corrie Ten Boom, some of you know her name. She was that Dutch woman whose family were trying to preserve Jewish families and hiding them in their attic, and they were eventually found out by the Nazis, and they were taken, and they were put into concentration camp. And her father and her sister and her were put in the concentration camp, and her father and her sister died in the camp. And through a clerical error, Corrie Ten Boom was released. And after the war, she was a Christian. And so after the war, she began a ministry where she would go around and she would tell her story and she would testify and she would call people to receive Jesus and she would call people to forgive and so forth. And she tells a story of going into a church or something. She was speaking somewhere. And at the end of the service, this man approached her and she recognized that he was the cruelest, most evil one of the guards in the concentration camp that she was in. And he greeted her and he began to tell her about how he had come to faith in Jesus. And she was looking at him and she just hated him. And there was just in her mind, there was like no way could she ever begin to think to forgive him. It was her sister died as a result of his cruelty. And yet in this instant, you know, just in this moment's time going on in her mind, the Lord suddenly gave her this grace and she was able to forgive him right there. And it's, you know, it's a moving moment as she tells the story, as he's broken and he's so contrite and just, you know, please forgive me. And you know, wow. I mean, can you imagine something like that? But what was she doing? She was doing exactly what Jesus said. She was living it, loving your enemies. So, verse 37. As we carry on, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will not forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, do not judge has been probably one of the most misunderstood things that Jesus has said. And what it means is I mean, we have to judge all the time. We have to judge between truth and falsehood. We have to judge between right and wrong. So that's not what Jesus is talking about. What he means is, a better way to understand it is, do not condemn. Do not pass a final sentence on somebody is the idea. In other words, don't write someone off as utterly beyond the reach of God. That's what we're not to do. Do not condemn, he says it, and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And then he gives us, give and it will be given to you. And so the giving here, you know, it's interesting. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure used, it will be measured to you. This passage I've heard so many times used in the context of giving financially. Give and it will be given back to you, good measure, pressed down. Hey, you give this and God's going to multiply it to you. And maybe you can find something like that in putting different scriptures together, but you can't really draw that from this passage because the context has nothing to do with giving financially, as you can see. What is he saying to give? Give forgiveness, give mercy. And that will in turn be given back to you. For the one who shows mercy, to that mercy will be shown. And Jesus is saying, as we have that merciful spirit, that forgiving spirit, we can expect that same thing will be returned back to us and in a greater portion. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. The student, the word is mathetes, and mathetes is the word that's translated mostly disciple. So here it's translated student, but actually it could easily, and in most other places it's translated disciple. So, but a disciple is a student. A disciple is a learner. That's what the word literally means, a learner. So a disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. I like this. I like to take this as a promise. Jesus is promising that we will be like him as we are following him. So as the longer we follow him, the closer we follow him, the more faithfully we follow him, the outcome of that is likeness to him. Oh, that is, isn't that what we all want? You know, how do we become more like Jesus? Well, we follow him. We are his disciples. We allow him to teach us. He teaches us by word. He teaches us by example. He teaches us, of course, supernaturally by the presence of his spirit in our life. But he does that for those who are his students, who are his followers. You know, I really do love where we're at as a church these days with a fresh focus on real discipleship, you know, really being concerned about making sure we're growing spiritually, making sure we're progressing, making sure we're becoming more like Jesus. You can be a Christian and not be so concerned about that. I mean, some people even teach, well, you know, we can never really become like Jesus, so don't worry about that. One day you'll die and then you'll get a new body and then you'll be like Jesus. Well, that is true, thank God. But we are on the road toward that likeness today. We are being conformed to the image of his son as we go on and on. That's what this is all about. It's all about becoming more like our master, becoming more like Jesus. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? This is funny. Some people say, does God have a sense of humor? Yes, this is funny. Just picture it. A speck of sawdust in your eye, but here, brother, let me, your brother's eye, here, let me help you get that little speck out, but you got this plank, you can't even get close enough to him. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Yes. So notice, though, it doesn't say you can't help your brother with a speck that's in their eye. It just says make sure that you don't have a plank in your own eye when you're doing it. You know, isn't it so true that when other people do certain things, we're just so annoyed by it, but we never stop to think that we do the same thing. I mean, I think this is just common. We all do it. Here, I'm gonna help you with this. And then, you know, they're looking at you like, hey, have you noticed that you've got a bigger problem than I do? Well, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? So it's funny that Jesus would ask that question to people in his generation. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Because Lord implies submission. You're submitted to the Lord. He's the Lord. He's above you. And yet, to use the language of not so Lord, that's a contradiction. So Jesus points that out. Why do you call me Lord? Do not do what I say. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So, you know, to paraphrase this, James paraphrased this, what Jesus said here. And it's basically be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not to hear his word is important. But of course, if we fail to apply it, then we're like a foolish person. You know, some people put their confidence in their knowledge of God's word. But our knowledge of God's word only profits us if we do what it says. So it's not the knowing of it. This happened, going back to the people that we were looking at the beginning, the Pharisees. This was part of their problem. They knew the scriptures. They knew them better than anyone, but they failed to do them. And so, like those who built their house on sand. And so let's be those people, people who are doing. Let's be that, verse 40, chapter 6. Let's take that as our take home. Every disciple who is fully trained will be like his or her master. And that would be the thing that we would be in pursuit of. You know, being more like Jesus. Sometimes I just think, Lord, I would just love to be more like you on so many levels and in so many situations. You know what? You know, as we're just confronted with the things of life. Lord, what would it be like to navigate life like you? How would you do this? Well, the more we seek him, the more we spend time with him, the more we're becoming like him. And the more our reactions will be like his reactions, our responses, our perspectives will be like his. So, Lord, help us. That's our prayer. Lord, help us to be more like you. Thank you for that promise that everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. One last thing. You know, the world's pretty crazy. Have you guys noticed that lately? And I think we all probably, on some level, we probably all wonder, what can we do? You know, what can I do? And I heard somebody the other day say something I thought was really wise. And it was this. It's not what we can do. Because on many levels, we can't do anything. But it's who we can be. Who we can be. Let's be Jesus people. Let's be those who are like our master. And then, and only then will we be able to do, when opportunities arise to do, then we can do the right thing, if the opportunity comes. But even if it doesn't come, by being, we will be doing, in the sense that we will be showing people what's possible and what God offers in contrast to what the world offers. It's looking pretty ugly these days. So let's do that. Amen.
Let's join Pastor Brian in the studio as he shares about this month's resource from Back to Basics.
Hi, Pastor Brian here, and it is almost Christmas. And of course, this is a time of year when everybody is aware of this holiday. They're hearing Christmas music as they're out shopping, and yet not everyone knows what Christmas is truly all about. So we have a great offer for you for this month. It's a small book, and it's entitled, Is Christmas Unbelievable? It's written by Rebecca McLaughlin, who is an excellent writer and has so many good things to say here. Really a great little book to give to a friend, a neighbor, a family member at this time of the year. So I would encourage you to pick up your copy of Is Christmas Unbelievable by Rebecca McLaughlin.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled, Is Christmas Unbelievable? 4 Questions Everyone Should Ask About the World's Most Famous Story by Rebecca McLaughlin. You can order the book, Is Christmas Unbelievable? By going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Is Christmas Unbelievable? 4 questions everyone should ask about the world's most famous story by Rebecca McLaughlin to help equip you to defend the faith. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of Luke. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.